Hey, it's been a while. I hope that wherever you're pressing play, you are so well. My name is Ryan. I make music under the name Sleeping at Last, and this is indeed the Sleeping at Last podcast. Today, I am so excited to share a new song of mine that belongs to my astronomy series of music. And if you are unfamiliar with what astronomy is, it's my ongoing series of songs inspired by astronomical events. And so when something really cool happens in space, I try to write a mini soundtrack of sorts for that observable event or discovery. And in this case, I wrote a song for the viewing of the upcoming total solar eclipse that will span across North America. The song is called April 8, 2024, The Great North American Eclipse. And I've been particularly excited to write this piece of music for this eclipse because my entire astronomy series began with a song for an eclipse, the 2017 total solar eclipse in America. So before actually witnessing an eclipse myself, I had to write that first song. And so I spent a lot of time reading and watching as much as I possibly could about other people's eclipse experiences and to try to imagine what it might feel like or sound like to observe an eclipse. And so after I wrote what I hoped would be a suitable song for that 2017 eclipse, I ended up taking a road trip with some dear friends of mine, and we got to witness the eclipse in full totality. And I'll be honest, I imagine it being a really beautiful thing to witness. And I had read about all these very enthusiastic eclipse experiences from other people, but I honestly had no idea how magical it would be. The 2017 solar eclipse remains in my top five ever most spiritual moments of my life. And I can't really explain it. There's just something really surreal to see nature shift in the way that it does during an eclipse. The bugs and animals behave differently. In the middle of the afternoon, instantly becomes twilight. And I just can't fully put my finger on it, but it felt like sort of the spell of all of the ordinariness of life was broken for a minute. And there's something about that. You get to see a glimpse of the vastness of the universe. And I know that that all sounds kind of insane, but it's true. There aren't really words for that experience that do any sort of justice for how beautiful it was to witness. So by the way, if you are hoping to catch the April 8th eclipse, which I hope you do, and I hope you will use this song as its soundtrack, I would try very hard to see it in full totality. Not to sound like an eclipse snob now, but any percentage of an eclipse outside of totality is not going to be that surreal experience. It's something that I read over and over before seeing one, and now I entirely get why people say that. So if you can, watch it from the path of full totality. With that in mind, here is the song that I wrote for this upcoming eclipse. The peak length of totality for this April 8th eclipse is 4 minutes and 28 seconds, and so that is the exact length of the song. And the other thing I wanted to mention before we listen is that this song is meant to be the sibling song of that first ever astronomy piece, which is called August 21, 2017, Total Solar Eclipse. Also, with this new song, I have now completed Volume 2 of Astronomy, and I love that symmetry. Astronomy Volume 1 opens up with the 2017 eclipse, and Astronomy Volume 2 closes out with this 2024 eclipse. And so after we listen to the song, I will tell you a bit more about how I wrote this piece of music, as well as overview the entire Astronomy Volume 2 album. All right, I hope you like it. Here is April 8, 2024, The Great North American Eclipse.
Thank you.
First thing I want to note is the absolutely stunning cellos that you hear throughout this song. That is my dear friend and longtime collaborator, Sharon Gerber. She is just wonderful. And if you've heard even a bit of my music over the years, chances are good you've heard her stunning cello. And as I was remembering what the eclipse experience I had in 2017 was, I kept thinking just how absolutely beautiful it was. And so whenever I think this music needs to be more beautiful, I immediately think of the cello. And more specifically, I think of Sharon's gorgeous cello playing. And so I wrote some kind of unusual cello lines for her to play, very off tempo, and she's amazing and was able to make sense of it. And our process is always a little bit different. Sometimes I'll send her full arrangements with cheap sounding, you know, MIDI strings playing the parts out, and then she will replace them. Other times I will have some general ideas or chords and shapes, or at least where the strings should be playing, and then she'll run with it. In this song, I sent her various parts that I wanted her to play, but I sang them, and I call it my voice cello. And it sounds super dumb at first, but I know that when she's going to perform it, it will be stunning, so it is worth the embarrassment of sending her these weird-sounding voice cellos, because I know that the result is going to be stunning. So here's what I send her. And here's what she sends back. And here's me singing the next line. And this is her playing that line. Yeah, she's absolutely incredible. Massive thanks to Sharon for putting so much soul into all of the cellos, and to Anya Gerber, her daughter, who played a couple top lines on violin as well throughout this song. And a quick side note, so the next Atlas 3 song, which is coming very, very soon, and I cannot wait to tell you about it, Anya Gerber and Sharon Gerber both perform strings on it, and it is stunning. I cannot wait to share that. So in another episode, I will take apart the song and show you those gorgeous, gorgeous parts from Sharon and Anya. An overall idea in this Eclipse song that you may or may not have noticed in listening back is that the entire arrangement of the song is actually a mirror of itself. I was thinking about the visual of seeing the moon's shadow slowly cross over the face of the sun during the eclipse, and thought it might be interesting to try to write the arrangement of the song with this visual inspiration. And so the first half of the song's arrangement starts as a single note, slowly getting more complex and full as it goes along. And then the first half of the song is mirrored. So the entire arrangement of chords and notes are then reversed on the second half of the song. So you can hear some bits that are actually reversed throughout the music, but I wanted the chords and notes to be reversed, but played forwards, if that makes any sense. It's one of those things that's really hard to explain outside of showing visual waveforms, but hopefully you kind of get the idea. Let me try to illustrate it here a little bit with sound. So this melody that the cello plays somewhere in the front half of the song. And then later, in the latter half of the song, the melody is again played, but it's played backwards. And mind you, the sound isn't reversed. It's just the melody line that was reversed. Yeah, never mind. It's way too hard to explain. But the idea here is that the song arrangement mirrors the visuals of watching an eclipse. It's a singular coming and going. I mentioned at the top of the episode, but one of the really surreal parts of witnessing an eclipse is how nature shifts around you. And the thing that I notice the most is how the bugs all of a sudden assume that it's evening or nighttime. And so they just fade in like a very unusual way altogether. It's like as soon as the eclipse happens, the bugs are orchestrated. And so I was able to track down audio from the exact moment in eclipse that I saw in 2017. My dear friend Brian McDonald filmed just some of the experience and sent me over this audio from where we viewed the eclipse. So you'll hear these bugs and this background sound kind of fade in as the song starts and then fade out as the song ends. And bonus, you get the commentary of the people around us viewing the eclipse. Another thing borrowed from my 2017 eclipse song was the incredible choir that you hear throughout. I recorded these lovely students back in 2017. They're called the Sonata Problem Choir from North Central College in Illinois. And they were so lovely. It was such a fun day recording them. I'm assuming now they have all graduated and are on to amazing things. So Sonata Problem is probably made up of all new members that are just as lovely. But I loved getting to record them and include them in this song as well. And so in addition to wanting to tie the two eclipse songs together by bringing in this choir, I really love the idea of human voices singing without words. They're singing only vowels, and because there truly are no words to describe such an incredible event. And something I heard recently that really stuck with me is Joseph Campbell saying, "All words are fragments of om, A-U-M." He says consonants interrupt vowels, and om is a perfectly circular sound with no interruptions. And something about that felt exactly right for this song, inspired by the awe of an eclipse. An eclipse is an interruption. It interrupts the rhythm of a day. So I love the contrast of that. And the idea of putting aside all human interruptions of language by including only om throughout the song instead of words. As Joseph Campbell says, all words are fragments of om. So in a way, all words are included here too. And I love that. So anyway, I'm a major dork and I really get into stuff like this. So pardon me. But throughout the song, that is what I was intending, as you hear these vowels from the choir, as well as my own voice layered underneath much of the song, singing a slow om. Another borrowed idea from my earlier eclipse song is to hide away fragments of my songs Moon and Sun in a subtle way throughout this song, because obviously it wouldn't be an eclipse without the sun and the moon, and so it felt very right to include them. Sun makes up the atmospheric backdrop of the song. And then Moon kind of enters and exits subtly throughout. During this upcoming eclipse on April 8th, one thing that's really cool is Jupiter and Venus will be visible and brighter than the stars in the sky during the eclipse. So, of course, I place little nods to my songs Jupiter and Venus hidden throughout as well. Here's a bit of Jupiter. And then here's another little bit of Venus also hidden throughout the song. I really loved writing this piece of music, and it is so fun to get to share all these little Easter eggs with you. If you plan on observing the eclipse on April 8th, and I really hope you do, if you're able, I would be so honored if you'd consider this song as the soundtrack to your great North American eclipse experience. In any case, I'm just really, really honored to share it with you and to get to tell you how it was made. I, for one, cannot wait to see this eclipse with my family, my daughter's very first eclipse. And we're keeping our fingers crossed for clear skies. This eclipse felt like the perfect way to complete my Astronomy Volume 2 album. And I'm already hard at work mapping out Volume 3. And I am so excited to continue making space-inspired music. It really is such a joy to get to make this music and to get to share it with you. In celebration of the completion of Astronomy Volume 2, let's go through and just talk briefly about each of the songs. All right, so number one is called July 4, 2020, Aphelion. When the song was released, I wrote a little overview of it, and it was right in the heart of the pandemic, and so here's what I wrote. The aphelion is the point in the orbit of an object where it is farthest from the sun, according to Wikipedia. Today, we are the farthest point away from the sun that we ever get, roughly 3 million miles farther than we'll be in 6 months. at perihelion, when we are closest to the sun. I chose to write a piece of music about Earth's 2020 aphelion because this year feels like we're falling further and further away from the sun. It's been an incredibly challenging 6 months for just about everyone on planet Earth, and somehow thinking that today the Earth will begin to find its way back to the sun makes me feel hopeful that the next half of 2020 could be brighter, maybe even healing. This hope inspired these simple lyrics of this song. I feel far away, a million miles away. I feel it in my soul, aphelion, healing begins. This piece of music is the score of sorts to the last difficult 6 months. Woven throughout, there are tiny sounds in tribute to the news of the pandemic, protests, riots, the launch of SpaceX's Falcon 9, even a little nod to Animal Crossing New Horizons, and snippets of sounds from every month of my 2020 so far. Let's go ahead and listen to a little bit of July 4, 2020, aphelion. Next up is the second song in Astronomy Volume 2, and that is called July 22, 2020 C/2020 F3-Comet Neowise. What a catchy title. This is another song written during that difficult year, but Neowise was this little bright spot. I remember waking up very, very early that day to try to see it with my naked eye and being in absolute awe of its long and beautiful tail. I even posted a picture of it on Instagram. Came home and immediately wrote this piece of music, and it was entirely based on that beautiful experience that I had. And then I realized a few hours later that what I actually saw was an airplane and the chemtrail of an airplane. Richard Rohr said something to the effect of it being good for people to suffer at least one humility per day. And I think that one for me was that stretched out for the rest of that year. So even if it was an airplane, it inspired, I think, one of my favorite astronomy pieces. And so anyway, here are some small Easter eggs throughout this song as well. The comet itself is roughly 3 miles long, so the length of the song is roughly 3 minutes long. The comet's tail appears beautifully arched, so I wrote kind of bending and arching melodies in the cello arrangement to reflect this. And my dear friend, again, Sharon Gerber, one of the most gifted musicians on the planet, played all the stunning cellos that you hear. I wanted to write this song from the perspective of seeing the comet from Earth. So every sound that is kind of close and intimate equals Earth, and every sound that is far or distant equals the comet and the space around it. So you'll hear birds and insects, which are meant to kind of ground the song to Earth. Lastly, of course, I put some sounds of an airplane in there as well, just to nod to the ridiculousness of me thinking I saw a comet Neowise and then going home, writing this song, and then realizing I just was watching an airplane. Let's listen to just a little clip of Comet Neowise. Next up is song number 3, called December 21, 2020, The Great Conjunction. The Great Conjunction is where the planets Saturn and Jupiter appeared to almost kiss in the sky. And the last time we were able to view this bright sight was actually over 800 years ago. So, and as if that's not awesome enough, it also took place on the winter solstice of 2020, and it was near Christmas, so people nicknamed it a Christmas star. So there's a lot of reasons that I wanted to kind of capture this in my astronomy series. But probably highest among those reasons was, again, the song was in 2020, and I just truly felt the need to celebrate any and all good and beautiful things that happened that year. And so this is The Great Conjunction. Thank you. A side note is I did actually record an episode all about the making of that song in particular. So if you're curious about that, go back and check it out to hear a little bit more of the Easter eggs hidden throughout the Great Conjunction. The next song, number 4, is called February 18, 2021, Perseverance Mars Landing. And that was written in honor of NASA JPL's Perseverance rover landing on Mars. A really, really exciting event. And I actually did an episode of this podcast all about that, dedicated to the Easter eggs and all the different things that I put into this song. So if you're curious, again, go back and take a listen to that episode as well. The next song, track number 5, is December 25, 2021, Webb Space Telescope launch. And I think this may be my favorite piece of music in my astronomy series. That's weird. I usually don't comment on my own work like that, but it is, I put a lot of my heart and soul into this, and it's one of the melodies that I return to every once in a while when I'm sitting at the piano. And so I really, really loved getting to work on this. Because I title all of my astronomy pieces with the date of the astronomical event and then what the astronomical event was, this one was really tricky because the launch was supposed to happen, I think, on the 21st, then on the 23rd, then on the 24th. I don't remember the exact dates, but we had to keep changing it. I had to keep re-releasing the song to kind of get the actual title correct. So I think it was even released called December 24th for a little while, but the launch actually took place on Christmas Day, December 25th. And I loved getting to write this piece of music. And if you follow or care about anything space related, you've probably already seen the absolutely stunning images that the Webb Space Telescope has captured. And so getting to write a piece of music for the launch of this was so much fun, and just kind of imagining all of the new insight that we're gonna have based on this incredible machine. Anyway, it was so much fun. I loved getting to make this. The strings that you hear throughout are performed again by the absolutely amazing Sharon and Anya Gerber, mother-daughter. And it was mixed by my incredible friend, John Goodmanson. It was mastered by the excellent Chris Bethay. And then hidden throughout, you can hear the voice of my daughters, Lily and Iris. They're singing as part of the choir that you hear throughout. Next is song number 6, and that's June 24, 2022, Parade of Planets. So I actually did a whole episode of my podcast about this song as well, so I will skip over some of the details, but Parade of Planets, I think, is my favorite title. that astronomical event actually being called Parade of Planets, I think that's 90% of why I wanted to write this piece of music, because I was like, oh, what a cool idea. And basically what that was is when we got to observe all of our planets in a nice and tidy lineup in the sky. And so I will note, even though there is a podcast about it, but the small little Easter eggs are, it's kind of a collage of several of my planet songs, Mars, Saturn, etc. And they're kind of layered and tuned together like an orchestra tuning. The chords that follow musically represent each of the planets aligned in the sky. And then a little Easter egg throughout is that you will hear the mechanical like whir sound of my telescope, which is the Stellina by Vaionis. And the strings again that you hear are the wonderful Sharon and Anya Gerber. Song number 7, February 1, 2023, C/2022 E3-Comet ZTF. You can kind of tell that those, anytime I do a comet, it has this really, really long kind of crazy barcode-ish type of title, but it was inspired by this comet ZTF that came by, and it made its closest approach to Earth on that date, February 1st. The green and beautiful comet ZTF was actually last seen over 50,000 years ago, which is the Stone Age, and it may never, ever be seen again by humans. Next up is song 8, August 30, 2023, Super Blue Moon. And this was inspired by the ultra rare Super Blue Moon. I think the next one exactly like this isn't until 2037. And so it was actually written and recorded in one day. So I kind of very, very last second decided the morning of that I wanted to try to make this piece of music. And before I did anything, even think through it, I wrote to my friend Sharon Gerber, who did all the cellos that you hear. And then I checked in with my friend Tim Demitz, who did the artwork for this. And then I checked in with the mastering engineer, Chris Bethay. And my kind of internal rule was if they all say that they're available today to do their end of this, then I'm going to try to write something. And they all were like, yep, let's do it. And so I just kind of dove right in and wrote this piece of music. And I am really, it was so much fun. I loved writing this. And I'm so grateful to work with a team of people that are up for these crazy curveballs like this. But yeah, this was written in one day. And it was really, really fun to kind of attempt to write something to honor that Super Blue Moon. Song number 9, January 4, 2024, Quadranted Meteor Shower. I'm not actually sure if I'm saying quadranted correct. Quadranted. It's one of the hardest words. Every time I type it out, I have to Google it, and I still am not sure how to pronounce it. But I loved writing this piece of music. Due to the weather, it's a particularly difficult meteor shower to actually see, and so I wanted that to be kind of felt in the song. I wanted you to kind of hear like dark and hazy sounds throughout, and then each little piano notes are these clusters that represent the unpredictable meteors, and they're kind of panning left to right, right to left, as they kind of move across the landscape of the song. I had so much fun working on this one, and I hope to, over the course of Astronomy, which is, as I mentioned, an ongoing series, there's no end in sight, I would hope to try to write a piece of music for each of the annual meteor showers. Lastly, that brings us to this song, April 8, 2024, The Great North American Eclipse, which we've discussed at length now. I love getting to make this space music. It is so much fun. Thank you so much for listening along. Astronomy Volume 2 is now available on all of the places that music is available, Spotify, Apple, you name it, and it's currently being pressed on vinyl as well, and so more news to come on that. And as I briefly mentioned at the top of this episode, I've got some very fun Atlas 3 news to share with you very, very soon. I cannot wait. That is going to be full force this year, and I'm so excited to finally return to that project. So lots of new music to come, and I really look forward to recording new episodes of this podcast, but I really appreciate you. Thank you for listening to me talk about the thing that I love to do, and for making it possible. Seriously, I'm so grateful for you. I hope that you have a really beautiful rest of your day, and I hope that you get to catch the April 8th eclipse, and I hope that it is as surreal and spiritual of experience as the 2017 one was for me. All right, huge love to you. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk really soon.